led largely by that focus on the candidate and becoming more conversational. Leading organisations today, there's hardly any similarity these days between the way we recruit now and the way we did sort of 10 years ago. And I think that's the case in lots of other areas of HR.
You're listening to the Candy Shop Talk podcast, brought to you by Talent Board and the Candidate Experience Awards Benchmark Research, and hosted by Kevin W. Grossman. Talent Board is the first nonprofit research organization focused on elevating and promoting a quality candidate experience. The Candy Shop Talk podcast welcomes John Ingham, an HR strategist and the author of The Social Organization and a speaker at the 2019 California HR Conference. Listen in on how improving candidate experience impacts recruiting and the business bottom line. Hey, everybody. Kevin Grossman, president of Talent Board. If improving your recruiting processes and the candidate experience for both external and internal candidates are key priorities for you and your organization, then we highly recommend you register for our 2019 North American Candy Symposium and Awards Gala in Washington, D.C. on October 14th. We have a full day of amazing speakers and sessions, and we're also doing this event in conjunction with the ERE Recruiting Conference on October 15th and 16th. So the evening of the 14th, you can come join us at the joint reception with the ERE, and then that evening, you can enjoy our gala awards dinner where we celebrate the 2019 North American Candy Experience Awards winners, companies that have the highest positive candidate ratings in our research, and enjoy a dinner and award ceremony. Just go to thetalentboard.org and click on the Candy Symposium and Awards Gala link, and then you can register with code CE19VIP to save $50 off an already very reasonable registration price. We hope to see you in DC on October 14th. Now enjoy the podcast. John, thank you so much for joining me on the Candy Shop Talk podcast. Before we dive into the rest of the show, why don't you tell us a little bit more about who you are and what you do today?
Sure. Thanks, Kevin. So I'm a strategic HR organization design consultant based in the UK, working globally. My focus is mainly on creating value, finding new, innovative, high-impact ways to contribute to a business. And actually, I'm a big supporter of the focus on both employee and candidate experience, because I think that's a great way to provide that sense of creating value as well, to find opportunities where people can not just meet existing business objectives, but find ways to create new or more stretching business goals as well. And it's great to be on the podcast. I often talk about the candies in the UK and encourage people to get involved. I was actually at Jerry Crispin's, I think, original presentation on it at HR Tech Conference in, I think, 2011.
Yes.
I subscribe to all the updates, and I think it's a brilliant intervention in this area.
Well, thank you, John, so much. I know you and I go way back too in the space. We're meeting, I don't even remember when we met, but it's been many moons now since.
Indeed.
Now you're going to be speaking at the 2019 California HR Conference, talking about the needs and opportunities for reward innovation. This is, as I like to say, tongue in cheek, way above my pay grade, but I'm really excited. You're supposed to laugh. You're supposed to laugh at that, John. There you go.
I chuckled quietly.
I was
forgetting I was on a podcast.
That's all right. That's fun. Levity is always a good thing. But anyway, and you preface that the subject by talking about how much HR has and is still going through this transformation, right? We've been talking about this for a while. Things are changing dramatically. They have been. It's been kind of a slow brew too, but it's been happening, but not so much on the reward side. So why don't we just start there? Elaborate what you mean by that. What's going on the reward side of this transformation that we've been seeing?
Well, not that much. You know, I exaggerate slightly, and clearly there have been advances. The whole focus around total rewards, for example, the move to social recognition, I think, is probably the most significant change over the last sort of 10 years or so. But you look at how much transformation has been in other areas of HR and recruitment, led largely by that focus on the candidate and becoming more conversational. In leading organizations today, there's hardly any similarity these days between the way we recruit now and the way we did sort of 10 years ago. And I think that's the case in lots of other areas of HR. And performance management is probably the best example. You know, sort of 5 years ago, again, very few organizations were doing anything at all. And now there's this whole tidal wave of organizations moving to continuous reviews or dropping reviews and ratings and so on. And compared to that, despite the fact that, you know, there have been changes in reward, clearly, I just don't think it doesn't stack up. And to me, there's quite a bit of evidence that the way we reward people now is a bit clunky. It doesn't always work in the way that we would like. It's a difficult one, really, because I don't have a single solution. You know, this is what I think organizations should do in reward. But then again, because my focus is around creating value and finding these unique, innovative opportunities, my suggestion is actually, you know, it's not about moving from the existing set of best practice, which, you know, isn't that best anyway, to sort of another set of best practice. It's about finding these best fit opportunities, which are smart and intelligent and fit a particular organization. In the conference, I'll be talking, well, firstly, about some of the reasons why I think reward isn't as effective as it needs to be. And I'll be talking to participants attending the session about identifying those sort of best fit opportunities and providing some examples and suggestions of sort of areas to look at that I think may be particularly relevant and some things which I think are interesting that some organizations are doing. But I'm very clear, you know, don't copy, and I'll be telling participants, don't copy any of these examples. What we need to do is just to think much more smartly about where we need to go.
Give us the definition from your experience of what rewards encompasses. And is that kind of agreed upon globally? So that, again, if you want to think of it, are there industry standards around total rewards? What does that mean? And is it kind of agreed upon globally?
There really are global standards. In the US particularly, I think World at Work provides a good basis for doing things differently. I think it's a little bit different in the UK and elsewhere. And indeed, it needs to be different. You know, that thing about best fit isn't just about an organizational basis. Reward clearly, and everything we do, recruitment is similar, although perhaps not quite to the same extent. But reward clearly needs to change appropriately in each different geography. But yeah, the focus, the move to total rewards, I think is, there is a recognition there that financial reward doesn't do as much as we often think it's going to. You know, there's lots of evidence that variable reward, the incentive, performance-based pay often fails to produce the changes in performance that we're trying to generate, and indeed can often lead to dysfunctional consequences that really hinder an organization's effectiveness. So clearly, given that, I think that, you know, that has been behind a lot of the move towards total rewards and really just looking at how do we attract and motivate and retain all of our people effectively, shifting the focus from the number to creating a broader environment where employees will be able to achieve what they need. To me, that's at the heart of total reward. And, you know, I absolutely support that shift and suggest that it probably needs to be an even stronger, more central focus of reward from this point forward. Now, clearly, it does depend on geography. It's interesting to be putting this argument forward in California, I suppose, where financial reward is probably sort of more to the fore than in many places in the world. But I still think the more that we can pay people appropriately and take reward off the agenda, and both as an organization and from an employee perspective as well, focus on more important things, which are, you know, firstly, you know, how do we create an environment where people are able to look after their well-being, are able to perform, are able to grow in their careers. You know, those are the things which employees really benefit from, even if it's not the first thing that they think about, particularly in a recruitment context. And from an organization perspective, you know, let's get employees focusing on their performance, on satisfying customers, all of those really important things rather than simply their reward. And I think, again, total reward is sort of part of that intent and shift.
You make the case for a broader vantage point, not just focused on the literal pay itself, but more of the other kinds of even intrinsic rewards that you get from potentially from an employer that you're working for. So is that, dig a little bit deeper on designing awards that are better motivate people than today, from your experience.
Well, firstly, it is about getting the mix, the alignment right. So, you know, all organizations are different. Organizations attract different types of people. In fact, one of the things I talk about, and it does link to the focus on candidate experience and so on, and one of the shifts in my own thinking as well over the last sort of 10 years or so. So when I'm designing anything in an organization, I have long recommended that organizations think about two key things, which are firstly the outcomes that they're trying to create in their people and the organization, as well as the end business objectives. Very often I find the business objectives we want to meet are just sort of too distant from what we're doing in HR. So I think if we can understand what we're trying to create in our people, it provides a much better basis for focusing what we do in HR and reward. And secondly, a set of organizational, or in this case, reward principles. So how do we want reward an organization to work in order to achieve those particular outcomes? And I think my interesting learning in this area, and I think is a sort of broader shift in HR globally as well, is an understanding that actually we need a third objective, which is about meeting our employee expectations. Because again, it's part of that move towards creating value. If we're going to try to create value for people, if we're trying to help our people create value, then we need to understand where they're coming from and meet their demands as well. And all of this stuff in organizations about employee experience and employee journey mapping and so on is all great, but it's sort of after the fact. We actually do much better if we build the whole organization partly around employee needs rather than try and build in that perspective sort of after we've already designed things. So as long as we take those three objectives and we think, you know, what do we need to achieve and how are we going to do that as the organization, and what sort of expectations do our employees have, and we build our reward policies to do those things, then we'll have a motivating environment. But we shouldn't all just try and copy the same things. So, I mean, you know, there are things we can do. I've already mentioned, I think, the development of social recognition is a huge part of this agenda. And if organizations aren't doing that, in many cases, that's going to be, you know, a really useful, compelling place to start. But to do this right, to create a new strategy which is going to be more effective and more useful than what we're doing now, we need to think very carefully about what sort of organization are we trying to create and how do we do that in a way which is going to be compelling for our employees. And it is why quite a few of the most interesting examples emerge from this area in the world. Because if you're, and clearly there are, you know, lots of long-standing organizations here as well, but you look at the proportion of tech startups and so on, you know, if you're creating a new organization from scratch, it's much easier then to develop a new way to reward and select employees who are going to value what you want to offer. If you're a large existing organization, it's harder to do that because you need to, you know, if you're going to change things, you need to do so in a way which brings your workforce with you. And it's not easy. And although, you know, I do passionately believe that organizations need to be more innovative in what we do in reward, I'm absolutely not saying it's easy. And I think there are very understandable reasons why organizations have failed to do much experimentation in this area. Because it is, you know, if you've got an existing workforce who have joined the organization because they value a particular thing, it's really, really difficult to move on to something else. But there are ways to progressively, you know, move towards a more unique business relevant approach. Will motivate your existing workforce enough, and you can ensure that we'll motivate the people that you're trying to attract in the future even more so as well.
In all of that, which was great information to share, is particularly considering that there, you know, it always does come back to that cliche of one size doesn't fit all across the board for any aspect of human resources and recruiting that we're talking about. You touched on some examples, but again, our talent board research also tells us that one of the main negative reasons why candidates withdraw themselves from the recruiting process is due to disparities with salary and benefits. And again, that's a big bucket. There's a lot of things of why that's occurring. But when it comes to recruiting and retention, again, if there's one thing that you could tell an employer about candidate and employee experience consideration. By the way, those two are kind of, they're inextricably linked anyway, right? Because as an employee,
agreed.
As an employee, yep. we're constantly having to be re-recruited to retain, and that includes our the rewards that we get as being an employee. So what's one, if you were sitting down and saying, like I said, this is the thing that you need to look at first when it comes to candidate employee consideration experience, what would you share with them as it relates to rewards?
The first is pay appropriately. Understand what your particular job is worth in the market and ensure you pay people enough. If we don't do that, we have huge ongoing problems, as you say, both in terms of attracting candidates, but in terms of motivating and retaining employees as well. Pay appropriately and focus on the more important things for the individual and organization. And more broadly, treat people well and fairly and develop trust that you are doing the right thing. If you have the right employer brand, there are organizations who are clearly not the highest payers in their sector, but have a huge reputation because they treat their people well, they do the right thing for their employees. And everybody knows that if you join that organization, you'll have a wonderful life and career, you'll progress in your job, you'll have many more opportunities. It just reduces the focus on reward, because you're always going to find you're recruiting somebody for a particular job. This is how much you value that for, and there will be people applying who are currently paid much more. And what you don't want to do is to get into that bidding game. The strategy is pay appropriately and create a compelling environment. And you're still going to lose people because that's the way things are. But if you create that environment, you'll in general be able to get the people that you need who are right for the organization as well. Again, it's about creating that tightness and alignment and having the people who will value what you want to offer them.
Oh, absolutely. Couldn't agree with you more, John, on that. And thanks for sharing that too. The last thing I love to ask my guests, because we're always working, right? It's always about the work. But what else does John like to do outside of work? What else is going on there? Kids, travel, painting. What else do you like to do?
Kids and travel. The reason I'm at the conference, and over the recent years, we've been to China and Japan and Southeast Asia and Australia and so on. And we're in California at the moment. So we've been touring around, started in Yosemite, Lake Tahoe, touring down the coast. We're camping and not glamping, by the way. We're one fairly small tent. It's been a lot of fun. And I've been in California quite a lot, and I know it's an amazing place, but I hadn't quite appreciated how amazing until spending this amount of time. So we're in San Diego at the moment. So we've reached our southernmost point, and tomorrow we'll be starting to return northward, finishing Los Angeles for the conference. So yeah, looking forward to, hopefully meeting you there again, Kevin, and meeting some other people and talking about reward and potentially candidates and candidate experience as well.
Oh, absolutely. John, thank you so much for being on the Candy Shop Talk podcast. And yes, kids and travel, that's our bag as well. So we've got some upcoming trips that we're looking forward to. And I do look forward to seeing you at the conference. So thanks again.
Yeah, absolutely. Thank you so much.
Thank you for listening to another episode of the Candy Shop Talk podcast. For more information about Talent Board and the Candidate Experience Awards and Benchmark Research, visit www.thetalentboard.org.